Hey folks, Tim and Brandon here, but before we get onto the show, I want to tell you about our new bestest friends at SeatGeek. Let's face it, buying tickets online, it sucks. It's not fun, it's a hassle, you never know if you're getting ripped off or not. Well, SeatGeek takes all the guessing work out for you. They make it very simple. They have nice little color charts to let you know what the best deal is. And best of all, you can do it on your desktop or on their awesome new app that you can just download on your phone. I know, Brandon, you've used SeatGeek in the past.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, ESL One New York just wrapped up this past weekend. I wasn't able to go because I missed my opportunity at buying tickets at my price range. SeatGeek will fix that for me next time. I will be smarter. I will use SeatGeek. I will set an alert up. It'll tell me exactly when tickets fall into my price range and I can pick them up and I won't miss an event ever again.
Not only will you get the best price, SeatGeek is going to give you a $20 rebate for your first purchase at SeatGeek. That's right. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and say add a promo code. Use the promo code CENTER and SeatGeek will then send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Again, download the SeatGeek app today and enter the promo code CENTER. Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring. TCR for short. Your favorite esports podcast. Episode 43 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 3rd of the year 2016. The time, 9:05 exactly. I'm Tim. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My co-pilot, my first mate, my Vegeta to my Goku, my hurrah to my bae.
This is literally the slowest intro I've ever experienced.
It's Brandon. How are you?
I'm good. Just brushing up on hero picks for a little bit later.
There you go. Show research. Who does that?
Yeah, especially right when you start the recording.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we do it. Anyways, episode 43 of The Center Ring. This episode will be our second featured on the Blowout Podcast Network. So for those of you who are listening to us on Blowout, welcome. Welcome to the show, The Center Ring. You can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. We talk about esports and all things that imply. No League of Legends, though. Sorry. We don't talk about that esport. Every other esport we'll dabble in, but no League. Okay? For those of you who just listen to the show and don't know about Blowout Podcast Network, go to their website, blowoutpod.com, and check it out. It's kind of a mixture of a bunch of podcasts, of a variety, to say the least.
It's a podcast network.
Yeah, it's just not esports, though. In fact, we are kind of the weird one.
We are the oddball.
We are the oddball.
Blowout, but...
You got... It's just banter. That's kind of like their staple. That's just a good old... Fashion
buddy talk.
Buddy talk. Banter, if you will. Got Dragon Brag. That's an awesome Game of Thrones podcast. You got TC's movie podcast. That's a good one. The Back Door. It's just the show. It's just... We never actually make it to the end.
We never make it
to the end of the music. Way to act like a professional, though. I appreciate it.
Hey, caught me off guard. What can I say?
So again, blowoutpod.com. Check it out. Or don't. You know, I can't force you to do anything. It's 2016. You live your life. All right? But I want to start the show. Well, actually, let me preview the show. I'm so sorry. Because I bet you a lot of people are on the edge of their seats and like, oh my God, how is he going to start the show? I don't even know what we're talking about. We're going to end the show with e-news. Brandon's going to be the anchor on that one. We got Overwatch Open this weekend. That happened. That Overwatch Open basically took an entire week, but it ended just as fast as it came. So E-League played some Overwatch. We're going to break that down, do a little observations on that. The middle segment of the show today, I did a lot of research on this, and I was going to do this whole production thing, but I just ran out of time. Because doing one show a week, I mean...
How do we even manage? I mean, honestly,
it's ridiculous. But I do want to talk about this NBA esports romance, if you will. You know, a lot of news came down. The 76ers bought a team. the Warriors got involved with Team Liquid. So there's a lot of new faces now, investors, owners in esports that are also involved with the NBA. And I've seen a lot of people talk about it and saying there's this connection. And I just want to talk about it, kind of give my thoughts, opinions, hear yours. You know, if you're a listener, let us know on Twitter on what you think. But we want to start the show off with another huge tournament that just ended. And that's the ESL 1 New York for CSGO. It just ended. It kind of kicked off the fall season, if you will. Right? This is kind of now the ramp-up period for CSGO. You got ECS starting soon. A lot of the more holiday tournaments and everything are going to be played between now and Christmas. Followed up with a quick turnaround in February.
And we got one more major to go this year, too, before the next one starts in January. So, I mean, there's two more majors coming up in the next 4 months, 5 months.
Which one am I missing?
Don't we have one more coming up in December and then one in January?
Which one's in December?
Three majors this year, and then has there already been three?
You had MLG. You had ESL 1 Cologne.
Yeah, there should be one more. Right?
What are we missing? Look this up.
I'm looking.
If only we had a contraption that could look this up and fact check us live.
Oh, no, I guess they only did two this year. The next one is E-League in January.
So there you go. So E-League will be but there you go. It's kind of kicking off this season of CSGO. We're done with the down period. We have some tournaments with big teams that matter. How do you want to go about this? Do you want to just kind of start with the results like we normally do?
Well, I've really only got two matches to talk about for ESL 1.
Well, let's speed through the results then, because I'm with you. As far as the group stage, there wasn't a whole lot of storylines.
No.
You know,
kind of what you'd expect.
G2 and Astralis getting 7th and 8th place, not tying for last, but they're the bottom two of the tournament. Is that even news anymore? I mean, to be fair, they got last place. They did poorly in a tournament with a lot of good teams. This was not a slouch of a tournament by any means. So getting last place isn't like getting last place at, you know, the Northern Arena or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. G2, though. G2 coming into this had a lot of hype kind of being built around it because they had started to kind of put things together and win big tournaments and take out big teams. So I think it is a little surprising to see them get
number three on.
Yeah,
Thorne's power rankings.
I do think it's surprising to see them as low as they are. I mean, they didn't win a single match. As you know, so this you're looking at, I can see this
the surprising part about them.
This is that Swiss format that we actually mentioned. I think it was either last show or the show before. It kind of takes groups out of it, and everyone kind of just plays everyone sort of thing. But yeah, G2, and I mean, they didn't play Liquid, please forgive me. They did not play good teams. They lost to Astralis. That's been garbage, like hot mess lately.
No, and so
Liquid and Optic.
Let me say this, because you just said Liquid, forgive me. Let's not use the results of this tournament to completely sway our opinion after the last couple months of games.
Yeah.
Like, G2 should have beaten Liquid. I don't care if this is a LAN event compared to an online event.
Yeah.
G2 should have beaten Liquid. But you're right, they didn't. They lost to Astralis, Optic Gaming, who
admittedly beat SK recently.
I would like to talk about the hypotheticals in esports, just because it's what we do. So Optic Gaming beat out Cloud9 for that spot. For whatever reason, Cloud9 can win all these tournaments, but when it comes to qualifying to a tournament against Optic Gaming, Optic has figured out Cloud9, okay? But where would you think, just looking at the results here, okay? And we'll get to the rest of the results here in just a moment. If Cloud9 defeated Optic Gaming and qualified, do you think they would have outlasted Optic? Like, do you think this would look completely different if Cloud9 was in the mix?
Probably not, actually. So, I mean, if you look at Optic Gaming's results, they had three losses. SK, VP, who we'll talk about much later, and Fnatic.
I think that would have been the difference.
Fnatic, I could see it going to Cloud9. But, I mean, if the other two losses, probably
up
not.
In the air.
Yeah. Fnatic, I could see going to Cloud9, and this is the new Fnatic that's still trying to kind of find their way with some inconsistent results.
Well, they got sixth place in this tournament. You know, Olaf Meister did an interview with Red Eye after they defeated Liquid their first game, because Liquid had their revenge. But they talked to, or did they? Which one do I talk about? Did they beat? Yeah, did they beat Liquid?
Who?
Fnatic.
No, they lost both times.
Both times.
Liquid on Dust 2.
Man, why do I remember them winning? I must be thinking of the Astralis game. Either way, Olaf Meister did an interview with Red Eye, and Red Eye specifically asked him, like, hey, how are you feeling about this new Fnatic team? And Olaf Meister said it's the first time that he's been enjoying playing Counter-Strike in a long time. Because obviously with the friendship tensions and everything with the old roster.
Yeah, but how can you not enjoy rolling people in back-to-back-to-back-to-back LAN tournaments?
Maybe it's just not, all about victories.
I'm thinking about when we play games. Half the time I want to kill one of our friends.
We definitely have more fun when we win.
When we're losing, but when we're winning, like, I don't care about your boneheaded plays if we still won. Anyway.
Yeah, it probably helps that we don't play nearly as much as they do.
That's probably true.
We don't spend every waking moment with each other. It's just for when we're gaming. So Fnatic, though, they got six. I don't know how I feel about this new Fnatic roster. It's whatever. It's too early to tell, in my opinion. Keep in mind, the only reason Fnatic was even in this tournament is because the old roster was invited there. I think if they had to redo... I mean, Fnatic still has their fans, but I don't think Fnatic would have qualified.
No, honestly, I would have rather seen Godsent. I mean, no disrespect to Olaf and Dennis, but I feel like Godsent has the more interesting roster now. So,
we mentioned earlier, Optic, they did make it to fifth place. Okay, so that's...
Interesting, though, is Optic actually had a negative round differential. Fnatic was +4 in their rounds, but still managed to place lower than Optic.
And now we're getting into the playoffs, where, again, so the top four, all right? Liquid, Virtus Pro, SK Gaming, and Na'Vi. Going into this tournament, those playoffs is not really that surprising. Astralis hasn't been playing well. We already discussed Fnatic and Optic are basically a toss-up on who wants to show up. Okay? Liquid, Allege had, by far, Allege gets my MVP vote for the tournament.
Yeah, I think I said that to you while we were watching the games at 1.2. Like, if it wasn't for Allege, like, they would have been
near. They would be nowhere near. JDM had an awful tournament. An awful tournament. Lowest rating on the team, according to HLTV. He had what was his average rating? 0.89, okay, which, in reality, you want closer to, like, a 1, a little over a 1, I would say, is a respectable one. 89 was terrible, okay? Keep in mind, JDM is the team's main opper, and he was missing... They lost rounds because he missed shots. If he would have landed some of his op shots, it was ridiculous. On one time, they were on Dust 2. I forget what team they were playing. He was on B-site up in window, okay, watching top tunnels. Dude, he missed 3 op shots that if he would have just landed one, it would have slowed down the push. He had to back away out of window and let, I think it was Na'Vi, take control of the site, because he missed so many opportunities to shut down that rush in top of B tunnels.
Yeah.
They got into the site, planted the bomb, and by the grace of Gaben, somehow Liquid had the cleanest retake I have seen in a long time. I mean, textbook retake. But again, what do we say on flashy plays or crazy ass comebacks?
Oh, it's like you don't get to make the flashy play unless you're out of position to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. The only reason it was such an impressive retake is because JDM let them walk through top tunnels when he had an op staring at their chests.
Yeah.
And he missed their shots. So the only reason that was impressive, one of the reasons, is because JDM could not land a shot to save his life. JDM's average damage per round was 66.5. That was his average damage per round as the main opper. For comparison, I looked at Fallen and Guardian, who are also the main ops for their teams, right? Arguably the two best ops in the world. Their average was more around like 75, 77.
Yeah, I'm looking at the results for the game between Na'Vi and Liquid. And I mean, you look at the... It's like the simple joining Na'Vi is finally starting to mesh together a little bit. Simple and Flamey on Na'Vi against Liquid both went positive 21. Flamey had 104.1 average damage per round according to HLTV. So you're looking at a guy that throughout the course of that match not only eliminated one of Liquid's players, but did more damage beyond that to somebody else. That's insane.
Well, I mean, look at Allege. Allege's average damage per round is 91. Was 91.2.
Yeah.
So you would think, okay, well, maybe JDM just wasn't getting the kills. But it wasn't even that. It wasn't like someone was stealing his kills or cleaning up after him. He was only doing 66 damage per round. That's barely over taking half one person below half health each round.
Yep.
That's what you contributed to your team. That's not even helping anyone clean up a kill.
Yep.
That's borderline not assist worthy.
You were cannon fodder. Hopefully your comms were at least decent. Because that's all you were, what you were contributing was comms. That's all.
Maybe he needs to sit up. Maybe the JD lane is no more. Just sit up a little. Either way, he had a noticeably bad tournament. Noticeably bad. It was not good. And they still made it to playoffs. I mean, they still made it to top four, which, based off of their recent performances, again, failing to qualify for E-League, I would take it. I would not complain. They were eliminated by Na'Vi, which, of course, was the storyline of Simple and Hiko's romance was beaten to death. That was brought up every waking moment. Which, what are you going to do?
That's stupid.
It's the storyline, right? People want to see it. People want to see it.
I can't stand it. You know why I can't stand it? Because when it was not working out, Hiko was salty as hell about it. That's neither here nor there.
That's
a whole other rant.
Either way, the romance is no more, and they talked about it a lot, but Na'Vi ended up eliminating Team Liquid 2-1. Okay? Which, by the way, Liquid took that first map, Cobblestone, 16-7. Na'Vi kind of struggled on Cobblestone the whole tournament. I don't think they won a map on Cobblestone.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, now that you mention it, looking at the finals.
I mean, teams knew it. Teams were picking Cobblestone against them.
Yeah, looking at the finals against VP, they only got 3 rounds on Cobble.
And against Liquid, they only got 7.
Yeah. They were struggling bad.
They had a really bad Cobble tournament here. And teams knew it because they were picking it. And then from there, I mean, it kind of all went downhill for Liquid. They lost on Train and Dust 2. The other semifinals, Virtus Pro versus SK Gaming. Oh. SK Gaming being that...
Oh, my goodness. That was an amazing game.
The Virtus Pro and SK?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, man.
Yeah.
That had everything. For all those people bitching and moaning about the games lasting too long, let's at least appreciate this being one of the culprits to that. All right?
Oh.
Like, I'm okay staying up till 1 o'clock if I'm watching that type of game.
That was one of the matches I want to talk about was SKVP and specifically map 2. SKVP on Overpass went to triple overtime.
VP ended up winning 25-21.
Yeah, VP ended up winning 25-21. And it was one of the most insane overtimes I've seen in that it seemed like every single round somebody was winning the games single-handedly, getting triples or clutches or, I mean, it was just in such an insanely exciting game to watch. If you need an introduction to competitive Counter-Strike Go, I would point them towards SKVP on Overpass.
And then on the third map, I mean, it was Nuke 16-7 VP. They started out on the T side, got 10 wins. That's normally enough to win you nuke if you get 10 on T side. What I wanted to bring up this. Okay, so that was the later game of the semifinals. VP then had to do a quick turnaround time. I think there was, what, only a couple hours in between.
I read that they were playing something like 5 hours straight almost, because as soon as they finished their match, they turned around and started the finals against Na'Vi.
So they had a pretty stressful night. Again, I know people complain about that. How else do you want to do it? Like, in the world that we live in, I mean, we'll get to this in observations. So package that. Package it.
Yeah, I have thoughts on that.
I'm going to get back to that point that I'm about to make. All right. I just wanted to say, I just wanted to bring up that SK lost. That's really all I wanted to do. I have no observations on that other than I said it last week, I believe, when we were talking about the rankings, that I said, SK, the only reason they're number one in the world is because no one has really convinced anyone else that they are number one. Not so much that SK is convincing me that they're number one. It's just they're not, because they're not playing like a number one team.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to pinpoint one thing, and it sucks to do this, but honestly, Fur, who just got done having surgery on both of his ears for some kind of inner ear obstruction or something along those lines, has just gotten kind of back into it, starting with ESL1 Cologne. But you can specifically look at him as a player and say, this is why SK is not performing. And they're still good. I mean, they're in the semifinals for New York, ESL1 New York.
You lost in a game that you took a team triple overtime.
Yeah, they're still playing well. So but Fur, I mean, against VP, we were talking about JDM's rating, HLTV rating being 0.6, whatever. Fur on the final map against VP had a 0.52 rating.
JDM was 0.89.
Yeah, so Fur's highest rating against VP on any of the maps was 0.89. So Fur really just did not play up to par.
What did Cold Zero have to say about that?
He deleted his Twitter after the last homophobic.
Did you see Cold's mustache though?
I did not.
It's pretty legit.
Is it?
Pretty legit handlebar.
Does that make up for everything else?
No, it doesn't make up for any of it. But I mean, it at least, you know, makes me want to chuckle a little bit. It's pretty cool looking. It's better than I can do, so I can't knock them. So moving on then to the finals, which was also an equally amazing match, which I'm glad, because I feel like lately with Counter-Strike, the semifinals, well, don't get me wrong, I guess Virtus Pro and SK, in most tournaments, even outside of esports, the semifinals normally put up such better matchups than the finals, I feel. But this one actually was pretty good. You had Na'Vi versus Virtus Pro, obviously, like we were saying. Again, we mentioned it earlier. Map number one was Cobblestone, and VP destroyed Na'Vi 16-3. I mean, it was a slaughter. Na'Vi could not get their bearings. Just their economy wasn't really ever... I mean, you lost 16-3. Nothing was working for you. Train... They kind of paid it back, though, winning 16-8, and then Mirage 19-17. So they went to the one overtime in the finals.
Yeah, and I think, interestingly enough, Guardian, who in the semifinal against Liquid was a minus 10, was the lowest rated player on his team, actually showed up for the finals and was in old-school Guardian form, taking a plus 20 throughout the finals against VP. The closest person was Simple, who was a plus 9. So Guardian did his vintage Guardian carry throughout the finals for Na'Vi.
Yeah, but Simple, maybe in the finals, but Simple had
the most consistently good. Yeah.
I'm giving Allege my MVP, because if you took Allege away from Liquid, they wouldn't have made it to playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, just Simple dropping 30 bombs. Allege was the reason Liquid ended where they were. Simple, on the other hand, had a higher rating, just barely, than Allege. His KD was positive 54. He had a 1.38 KD, a kill per round ratio. So, I mean, it was...
Here's the thing about this Na'Vi lineup.
Insane, but...
Here's the thing about this Na'Vi lineup. It's been said over and over again after Na'Vi consistently finished second, third place in these like major tournaments, big tournaments. I don't want to say major because that's an actual distinction, but premier tournaments. Now that Na'Vi has added Simple, you kind of saw him heading this way when they added Flamie, and Flamie was inconsistent, but he was able to show up at times when Guardian wasn't able to carry. But now you've got Guardian, you've got Flamie who's becoming more consistent, and then you have Simple also on this team. You've literally got three guys that can carry games by themselves on your roster. Well, we saw this not work though with when they first added Simple. Granted, they were probably getting their bearings with one another, but they were placing awfully.
Well, and they switched it up, right? So when Simple went on, what was the storyline with Simple and Liquid? Who was going to be the sniper?
Who was the main offer?
You added Kusta. Why did you add Kusta that was the whole thing that Simple left originally, because he was like, no, I was told I was going to be the sniper.
Yeah.
And then this happened, right? In New York, okay, Simple only used the op 19% of the time. Other than that, it was the AK.
Yeah, so he switched to a rifle or a rifle.
And he is still that effective.
Yeah, he's just a good, great player.
If anything, he's going to be more effective as not the main opper, because you're letting him not put the team on his back, but at the same time, he's putting the team on his back, but just without the stress.
Yeah.
He knows that he has guys behind him that can back him up.
Yeah, and so I distinctly remember Thorne one time mentioning that Guardian, or that I keep saying Guardian, Na'Vi didn't have that one other guy that could help put them over the edge, and I think adding Simple and Simple finally figuring out the role that he's playing in is going to do that, and Na'Vi is going to be ridiculously good from here on out now that they figured it out.
Are you saying that this is probably going to be like the new Fnatic? Are we saying
I would go as far to say they're going to be like the Fnatic of early 2016, late 2015 was. If they can, you know, I don't want to say if. Now that they figured it out, I will put money on it and say that they are going to be like the old Fnatic.
All right, we'll see.
I mean, they jumped to number 3 in the world according to HLTV after this
I
win.
I'm just telling you,
Thorin needs to go check his rankings. He needs to update those power rankings after this.
You know, sarcastically, the entire tournament, I was saying in our Discord, which you can join, by the way, but I was constantly saying in the Discord, like, oh, well, that's a pretty good performance for a number 8 in the world there, Thorin. Like, he had before this tournament, he had Na'Vi as number 8 in the world.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that? And we said that at the time. We were like, dude, I know you're only looking at the last 3 lands, but come on.
And one more thing I kind of want to touch on with the finals was from Neo. It was translated from one of his Facebook posts. There's just a couple things that he said in there that I thought were pretty interesting, especially considering the marathon of games that they had going on. And one of those things was he said, I always say you should look at stats. This is, like I said, translated quote. In the team, you always have different roles, positions, so not always it's as good an indication of the form. But this time, I suggest looking into the stats from 2 of yesterday's games. In the semifinal, we were going pretty even as a team. But later, in the final, the older part of the team dropped off a little. Now, mind you, the older part of the team is probably like 20, how old is that, Taz, 28? 27. So, I mean, it's just interesting that everyone kind of...
Taz is 30.
I would say, okay, so the oldest part of the team is 30. That's the older part of the team.
Pasha's 28.
I assumed it was Taz and Pasha.
Well, Neo's 29, so I don't want to hear it from him. Maybe he means...
Maybe he's talking about himself. Anyway, I just found it interesting that they said they had the multi-hour fight with SK before they were able to win. Normally, they could take a loss. They've lost before. It's just one of the elements. And then he went on to say that finals shouldn't be played after semifinals on the same day.
Agreed.
Everyone can carry the team, but in the moment, the old guard didn't deliver. Hashtag my bad. So he was talking about himself, too.
Just in general.
But I mean, I just found it interesting that that everyone kind of cheers at VP because it's the same makeup. It's been the same five guys for so long.
I believe it was Snacks in a recent interview said that a roster change was the last thing on any of their minds.
Yeah.
Which I commend them for it.
I mean, if we're talking average age of a professional Counter-Strike player, they're on the far end. They're jacking up the average.
I don't think that has anything. I know Neo put it in his tweet, but I don't think that has anything to do with their performance. I don't think it's with the loss.
I understand it's mentally draining, but if we're being completely honest,
you lost on the third map on a best of three in overtime.
Yeah, and I don't think
don't hang your head on
the
that.
Age difference of 23 to 29, mentally speaking, is going to exhaust you much more than the other. I don't think it's enough to actually make a significant difference,
especially when that's all you do. I mean, more or less, your brain is trained to play that much.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was interesting.
I thought it was interesting. He threw the age thing out there. He's making excuses, but he's kind of making excuses.
So let's get on to observations real quick. Did you see when Na'Vi won Guardian crying?
I did. That was the first first premier tournament they've won
in a while.
Yeah.
In a while. I mean, it's, and you know, he's probably happy knowing, kind of like how you said, like, this is working for them.
Yeah.
It's working.
Finally, they're able to get over the hump and win the tournament. Yeah.
I wanted to bring up, did you see the play where Simple on Dust 2 against Liquid threw his gun over window and then popped out to kill, I believe it was...
He threw his gun? Was he, I didn't see it. What was he doing? Was he distracting
Nitro.
Him?
I guess that was the thought behind it. Everyone freaked out. So he threw his op over the window on B site in Dust 2 and then ran through the window and shot Nitro in the face. They're like, wow, what next level? I'm going to...
You think he was just beaming
him? I'm going to tip my fedora to Simple that it was funny. I don't think it had any... I don't think Nitro was distracted by it. Maybe, I mean, his cursor didn't go. Maybe his eyes moved to it. But I mean,
the Simple play I remember was him getting the 4K three with the pistol and then picking up the AK to finish the next one.
And then you had possibly the best play of the night or the tournament was Snacks getting a 4K with his USP.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah.
Was that Train?
Mirage. I believe it was Mirage.
Was it Mirage? Either way.
From CT into Firebox. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Legit. That was the play of the tournament, was the 4K by Snacks. Some, let's get real for a second, Brandon, if you don't mind.
Real talk.
Real talk here on TCR. So I understand everyone goes to these things to have a good time. I totally get that. And I'm not there to ruin your fun. Right? Like, I think everyone can have a fun time, but not be a douche. And I think if you watched the tournament, everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, not even if you watch the tournament. He's over the front page of the Global Offensive subreddit.
There was this kid during, was it the finals?
It was the finals.
Was the finals.
Was it finals or VPSK? I know he's wearing a Virtus Pro jersey.
It definitely was the finals.
Okay.
Because I didn't get to watch all of VPSK. So this kid, every time they went to a crowd shot, would run in front of the camera and do about every meme you could think of. Somehow, in the matter of 10 seconds with the camera on him, this kid fit in the Vape Nash. He fit in, what's this thing called? The dabs. Dabbing. Ugh. I hate him. I've never hated what looked to be like a 12-year-old more in my life, but I hate him. And me personally, and I have no problem doing this, I would have asked someone to just either escort him out or be like, bro, you gotta chill, okay? And I have audio. This is the same kid that we're talking about that was being super obnoxious on the camera. I guess this was someone sitting behind him or next to him.
So in the Reddit thread, there was, God, I wish I would have gotten the submitter's name. If you pull it up on...
Look, he's not listening to the show. We don't have
anyway,
to Reddit
him. Anyway, so in the big Reddit thread about this kid doing this stuff in front of the camera, There were several people that posted pictures and videos of stuff he was doing when the camera wasn't on him, which is, I think, what would have set me over the edge.
So, yeah, like, first off, I've been on the record before. I hate crowds. At normal sporting events, at esports events, they're 10 times as worse. I don't know what it is. It's like, if you ever wanted to see what Twitch chat looks like in real life, go to an esporting event. And that's Twitch chat in real life.
I when we were at MLG Columbus, I turned around and snapped on a kid because he was just being so obnoxious. Like, and this is why I disabled Twitch chat. The first thing I do when I turn on a stream is disable Twitch chat.
So this is him with the cameras off of him. So not even like being provoked or anything. This is just this kid, regular. Kill me.
And I mean, just point out the fact that nobody else is like screaming and yelling. Like, I heard Thundersticks kind of in the background one or two times. But that kid is just unprovoked screaming at the top of his lungs.
Dude, you know me. I used to be a fun guy. I used to have like long hair. I had like my nose pierced at one time in my life. I was pretty cool. I was hip, right?
That compilation, by the way, was credit Cheetos 999.
Well, thanks, Cheetos 999.
Yeah, thanks, Cheetos 999.
I would have no problem either. I would be respectful. I'd be like, dude, please. Like, we're all trying to have fun. And what you're doing right now is not you having fun. This is you being... When did obnoxious become, like, okay in public?
Man, have you like... talk to people on Counter-Strike?
I get that. But you know what? When we were 15 and 16, we would go to MLG and that shit was not happening. Like, that did not happen when we were younger at events.
And it's important to also say that it's not just us. I'll actually put the Reddit thread on the show links so that people can go see that this isn't some kind of like get off my lawn, no, I'm an old geezer thing.
This is not me being unreasonable.
It was so bad that the analysts and casters were mentioning how bad the crowds were. So,
and this is another issue where the caster's desk or the analyst desk, excuse me, you could like basically if your seat was near it, you could stand up and be seen on camera. And I don't know what it is about being on camera that makes people go full stupid, but it does. I don't think your Harambe memes are funny anymore. I don't. I get it. Thorn did Harambe. It got to the point where Machine actually turned around and was like, yeah, we get the joke. Thank you. We've seen the sign. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was kidding.
And it's even worse is that it's like, when you look at like professional sporting events and people are doing that,
they don't do that though.
Well, I mean, people try to get on camera and they have signs. Like, if you look at College Game Day, but it only lasts for like maybe 20 minutes. Like, the desk time is only like maybe 20 minutes.
Well, okay. And on College Game Day,
this is like a 10-hour long event.
On College Game Day, though, that's like the bit. Yeah. Of it. Like, the bit is bring your funny signs. This is the time for that.
Yeah. But
you leave them at the door when you leave.
Well, even if you go to that, you watch the Stars game and they have the analyst desk kind of up in the platinum seating section, people get up there and make stupid faces. You see it on the news, but it's only 5 minutes at a time. This is, like I said, a 10-hour long event. The same people are sitting in the same spot. You know, we had our seats on lockdown.
It has to stop.
Yeah. I'm with you. I wasn't before. I'm with you now. No more signs.
I will police the major in Atlanta so hard.
No more signs. And for the love of God, no Thundersticks.
TCR is your platform for maturing esports. Vote for us and we will mature esports for you. Thundersticks need to go too, by the way. Thundersticks are obnoxious. They bring no purpose and it makes it look like it's a high school pep rally.
I think there was a clip, I think TJ posted it in our Discord, which again, you can join, of a guy on screen in his friend was poking him in the face with one of his thunder sticks. And I was like, I would have lost it. I already hate thunder sticks. If you were sitting there poking me in the face with one.
It just looks stupid. Just clap. Just let me clap. Why do we need this stupid? It's like, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm like a seal trying to clap with thunder sticks. It's just it's dumb.
It's just another thing to put a company logo on.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's if it didn't make them money by selling a sponsorship on thunder sticks, no one
can
would
they do it. Can they sponsor like hacky sacks or something? Something that doesn't make noise. I mean, I could totally see that happening where people would start throwing it on the stage because people are idiots in crowds.
They'll do it.
Something filled with beans that isn't loud.
I don't know, man. I'm not anti-fun. I'm just anti-annoying, stupid fun.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
I'll get to one more observation, but it's going to come in Overwatch. It counts for both, but I'm going to talk about it when we talk about the Overwatch Open.
Gotcha.
Which we will get to after we discuss this NBA esports romance going on. Like I said earlier, a lot of teams, a lot of big investors, professional sports owners are getting into this esports. And it's got me thinking, is this just a normal thing? Is this an NBA supporting esports? Because some people are like, man, this is great. The NBA is getting in on this, right? I'm going to have underbed music for this, by the way, while my monitor's flipping out. So I did some research, all right, on my own. And before we talk about the now, let's talk about the past, okay? Let me take you back, Brandon, to the year 2007. Do you remember the year 2007?
I do.
I got my first car, all right? Beyonce's Irreplaceable was at the number one charts, all right? This was a time before Twitch was even a thing, all right? People weren't throwing $1 million into esports just to have their opening tournament in beta.
Their early access game.
This was a better time where you could just go and LAN. It was a better time. Trash talking was a lot more creative and a lot more receptive, by the way. All right, now it's just yelling. But I want to go back to 2007 because this was when the thought of being a professional gamer, it was around, right? Like we thought about it when we were 17, 18. Like, hell yeah, we could do this, right? Especially when we hit semi-pro in Rainbow Six. We were like, we could totally make a living off of Rainbow Six. This game is going to be so popular. It wasn't.
Not at all.
Spoiler alert. No one cared about Rainbow Six. But we were semi-pro in it, so get over it. I'll hang that on my wall.
Any day.
Any day. Major League Gaming was at the time very popular, right? That was probably at its high point.
Yeah,
was 2007.
It was the only console kind of tournament circuit.
Halo was its
huge
baby, yeah, right? Like, you can make the argument of who helped who more. Did MLG help the Halo scene,
right,
or did Halo help MLG?
I mean, you can look hand in hand.
Halo
had to implement MLG game types because so many people were playing MLG types.
Exactly. So it was being noticed, okay? Final Boss, that was one of the top teams at the time. People were watching, including one NBA three-time All-Star, Gilbert Arenas. Do you remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You gave me a blank stare. I was just making sure we were on the same page.
I'm following the path. I'm following the
All
story.
Right.
I'm in it.
Gilbert Arenas, he invested in, and I think he was only like 25 at the time, invested into Final Boss. And that was huge. Like, wow, a professional athlete even knows what Halo is. Because at the time, like 25-year-old seemed so old, right? It was like, oh, wow. Side note. This monitor straight up died on me. Hopefully we don't need any more audio because that is a dead monitor. So Gilbert Arenas invests into Final Boss. There's interviews of him stating that, you know, this is the top of the athlete. It's a great time to get involved. Fast forward a little bit to 2011. Halo's kind of taken a backseat. Right, console gaming in general is kind of taking a backseat in esports. The only reason they're even relevant anymore is because of sponsorships between the systems and leagues. MLG has been in decline now for a while, starting its steep decline as we see today being bought out by Blizzard and Activision. And Final Boss is no more. Maybe not the investment Gilbert was hoping for. Not to mention in his own life, he was dealing with issues, having being busted bringing a gun into the locker room. It just wasn't a good time for anyone involved into that world. Okay. Well, let's kind of move on from that, right? That was the first kind of introduction, I think, that we saw NBA and esports. Even back then in 2007, NBA and esports. Now, fast forward to today, okay? We have now a lot more interaction. Nearly 10 years after Arena's invested into Final Boss, esports is again having the best opportunity it can for being quote unquote mainstream entertainment, right? You're getting a lot more money involved. People are throwing $1 million tournaments when their game is still in early access. It is big, deep wallets now are getting invested. Okay. In late 2010, all right. Not 2010, 15.
That's just 5 years.
It's just a little bit. Rick Fox purchases Gravity Gaming, converts it over into Echo Fox. Echo Fox now, I would say, is a household name. If you follow esports, they have teams in league still, LCS. They got CSGO. They got Smash and Mewtwo King. Echo Fox is a big deal, all right? NBA connection number two. I want you to put a little asterisk next to Rick Fox, though, for me.
Why?
Because
are you going to tell me later?
No, I can tell you now. There's no spoilers here. Because between him and Gilbert Arenas, they are one of the rare oddball occasions where I truly feel that is a fan buying a team.
Okay.
Or investing into a team. The rest, I feel, might be a case of millionaire see, millionaire do. I think they're just following the money.
Expert play on words, my friend.
Told you I had time on this one. So Rick Fox, a little different compared to everything else that we're about to discuss. Little bit, I think, I couldn't find an exact date on this. I think it was early 2016, late 2015. The NBA Board of Governors had a meeting where NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and the Philadelphia 76ers CEO Scott O'Neill, you know, they presented this piece at this Board of Governors meeting and said, have you guys heard of this thing, esports? It's becoming pretty popular. This might be something we want to look into. So this was not I don't know who was all at this board, but it was brought up in an NBA Board of Governors meeting saying, what do we need to do next? Okay, so there's another NBA connection where it's actually getting attention from the commissioner of the league. This is coming into between then and now. On March 18th of 2016, NRG had a group of investors. Let me get you this. I actually did not know this until doing this little bit of research. You know, this whole time, Shaq is like the big thing for NRG, that he is the face of NRG, right? Did you know also involved in that investment was Alex Rodriguez and Jimmy Rollins?
Yeah.
You knew that?
Yeah, when the first announcement came out, it was talking about all the players.
I don't read press releases, Brandon.
Oh, that's right? I'm interested in the business side of it, so I pay attention
business.
To it.
Just give me good games. No, so, but yeah. Again... So that's not, yes, it's an NBA connection with Shaq and that helps TBS, who's big into NBA with TNT and everything there, right? A lot of advertising, cross-advertising going on there. But you also have Alex Rodriguez, and again, How much do you want to bet Alex Rodriguez has never played?
He probably didn't even know what an Xbox
no,
is.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. He probably owns one and has never turned the thing on. He probably owns one because he just thought that's what you did.
Yeah, he's like, when he bought his TV, the guy at Best Buy's like, do you want an Xbox with this? He's like, yeah, might as well.
Yeah, sure. Why not, man? Moving on here, you had Jonas Jerebko. That's how I'm going to say the name. Of course, that is the former all-star Detroit Pistons, now Boston Celtics player. He purchases Renegades, rebranding them and moving them to Detroit as the Detroit Renegades.
Afterwards, they go on that huge winning streak.
Because
they beat like three teams in a row immediately after becoming Detroit Renegades.
Coincidence? I don't think so. I think it's the heart of the city. Make note of this. It won't get brought up again, but for future, like 5 years down the road, I want you to be like, you know what? Tim on that formerly known Center Ring podcast, now known as Billionaire Podcast, he said that this is where franchise started. Could this be franchising a team on the horizon? Sneaking in, right? Hey, man, we're just rebranding to Detroit Renegades. Don't worry, not franchising. But the whole scare of franchising in esports was, how are you going to make a team an individual based off a city, right? Like, it's stupid. It's an online medium. How are you going to do this? This is how you're going to do it. You're just going to slap the city's name on the team, and then people are going to like it. And then you're going to franchise it.
The two dots I connect immediately are the Professional Esports Association League that just took place with all the teams organizing it. And if you start seeing more teams put a city moniker, you could see very quickly something like the NBA or the NFL or the MLB starting with locally based teams.
Yes. And again, I don't think it has to be like some big presentation. It can be very sneaky. Just, hey, Jerry Jones is going to buy Cloud9 and rename them Dallas Cloud9.
God, that would be so fitting.
Like, what would stop anybody from doing that? They now own this team. They can rebrand it however they want. And if keeping the fan base of Cloud9 and throwing Dallas in there, like, you're basically franchising that without anybody realizing what you're doing. Again, not relevant to the NBA romance of esports, but I just wanted to plant that seed so I can say I told you so in 3 years. Then you had, let's see here, moving down my list. Oh, this is like just in the last week or two, Philadelphia 76ers venturing in to be the first North American sports franchise to straight up purchase a team. Right? Rick Fox, yes, he purchased a team, but he wasn't like a North American, you know, he wasn't a sports franchise.
Rick Fox made his own team, technically, right?
Well, he bought the skeleton and dressed it later on, but this is 76ers just straight up saying.
Oh, I'm thinking it's Counter-Strike. He bought the League of Legends team,
and that's what he used to be his platform.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But this is an actual sports franchise just straight up buying the team. They bought Dignitas and Apex, and they're going to combine it under the Dignitas name. Okay? Now, a lot of jokes of like 76ers being the first team to do this. First off, the results of the 76ers and what Dignitas is has no bearings on anything. That's stupid.
It was a pretty funny joke, though.
It's funny, but I'm not really going to acknowledge them in the sake of an argument on why this is a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it is. Because you got to also think, though, these are owners who have influences on the New Jersey Devils and Crystal Palace in the EPL. Okay? So again, NBA, but they're also big investors in the NHL and the Premier League soccer. So take that with a grain of salt for what you will. I did want to bring up one thing. What was it? I don't know. I didn't write it down. It must have not been that important. Like, literally, though, the next day, Team Liquid announces. Now, these aren't owners, I guess, per se. You tell me this, businessman, because I don't really understand it. But the Golden State Warriors co-owner Peter Guber, and I believe Magic Johnson, right? Has now controlling interest of Team Liquid. So they didn't buy the team, right?
Not outright. So the previous owners probably still have board seats.
Okay.
But they controlling interest means they have control, but they're the ones that can like call the board meetings and influence. Because they have controlling interest, they have more votes than anyone else.
Okay.
So
it's like when my fiance says I can go out with my friends, but
really, she doesn't mean that.
Right. Like I tell her I'm going to go out with my friends, and she's like, no, yeah, you can go out with your friends. It's like, no, I am.
But yeah.
Let's be real here.
Yeah.
She gave me permission. Okay. So I understand that. All right. In an interview with ESPN's Danian Rovell, he asked, when did you guys start to understand that you wanted to get into esports? Goober replied, Ted and I are in the audience business. And what we saw was a huge audience and amount of people that were watching esports. It wasn't too difficult to realize that this was a real opportunity. So like right there, all these people are saying like, man, it's so great to see all these guys get into esports. First off, they don't give a damn about esports.
Oh, no. Like, I can tell you exactly what they give a damn about.
Let me backstep. I don't want to be like me giving you my opinion on this. I was kind of presenting this information so everyone could make their own judgment decision of, is this an NBA romance with esports, or is this businessmen being businessmen? Me personally, I think it's the latter. Because whether this was esports or handball in America, all they saw was an opportunity. They saw audiences, they saw people watching, and they did it. It has nothing to do, because people are like, well, maybe it's the demographic of the NBA. No, it has nothing to do with demographic. It has the demographic of how many dollars are in this guy's bank account.
Yeah, so there's three things that are causing all these business people to look at esports. One, the estimated growth of esports becoming like a $2 billion business by 2017, into 2017, something like that. The demographic of young males with disposable incomes between the ages of 16 and like 35, which is like the holy grail of advertising demographics.
And then they're getting into the younger age where they can grow up with it, right?
And the way esports people consume content, and that they're watching it online and they're engaged for a ridiculous amount of time. When you watch an esports event, you don't watch for a 30-minute show with three commercial breaks. You watch for hours. You have it on for hours. And 90% of the time, you're engaged, watching, participating in some kind of ridiculous Twitch chat meme garbage. But you're engaged with the content for a very long period of time. You're the number one demographic for people that spend money. And esports is supposed to grow into this ginormous business, mainly because of that. As a result, you got people that say we're in the audience business. And by we're in the audience business, they mean we want to sell all of you something.
Well, and that's one thing that the 76ers stated in an interview was that, like, they want to be the forefront of esports, right? They're 76ers kind of have a reputation of being the firsts. Recently, the NBA, and I actually did not know this until I did research this, and I work at a sports radio station. The NBA now allows you to sell advertising for jerseys, on your jerseys.
Really?
The 76ers are the only team, and I believe it was with StubHub, that has sold anything on their jersey so far. No other team in the league has even jumped on this opportunity to sell, you know, advertising spots on their jerseys. 76ers were the one to do this. So they're not a foreign to the concept of just in it to make the money.
I wonder if it's kind of as a result of the same backlash that NHL people would have of putting ads on their jerseys.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think the jersey is sacred and you don't want to put ads on it.
Yeah.
But they also did say that the one thing that esports is missing, first off, they did say it was an immature business. Like, there's just people in it who are,
quote unquote CEOs that have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
None. Which we've discussed before. When you have like 26-year-olds owning these teams that make millions of dollars, well, no shit, you don't have anybody trying to make a players union or a CPA. You think they know the first thing about a union or a CPA? No, they don't. But moving on, they did say that the 76ers did say the one thing they want to do with Dignitas is mass produce merchandise. Like, yes, you can get merchandise in esports, but like Cloud9, I think, is like the number one selling gear because their website is so merchandise friendly.
Yeah, even when we were in Columbus, Liquid literally ran out of gear to sell.
Okay. They didn't run out of gear. They brought like a shirt.
Box, yeah.
They didn't bring any gear.
Yeah,
but
I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to frame that they sold a ton. I meant to frame it as they did not bring anything to sell. Yeah.
And that was the one thing that he was saying is like, we're going to mass produce gear. You're going to be able to buy Dignitas gear when you see it. And it's not just going to be at events. Like, we're going to have them in stores. We're going to do that. Not from what they said, probably not do as much cross promotion between the 76ers and Dignitas for now, but it's going to be there. Okay.
Do you want to know why they said that? Because the people that watch the 76ers would be like, what the hell is this video game stuff?
Yeah, you gotta wean them
on that.
You gotta ease into it. Spit on it first. You don't want to go in there dry. So my main point to this too, though, is first off, I don't think it's like an NBA romance. I just think it's just so happens to be that all these rich friends also own NBA franchises. But is that like a bad thing, right? Like, is that a bad thing that, like, so what if they don't grow esports for the better of esports? If esports grows, do we care? Like, do you want to see esports grow right and be like, no, that's not true to the game? Or, like,
are you asking my opinion on it? Do you want me to give my opinion on it?
If it's a shorter one, because we got to get to Overwatch here shortly, but. Like, for me, like, let's say they get rid of, because now you're having all this money in there, right? They don't have to do a giant-ass 3-day, 12-hour-a-day tournament. They can manage to do these nightly TV shows on one single match. People will pay money to go see a best-of-three match, right?
Okay.
Is that a bad thing?
That's not, no. I don't think that is.
But would it upset you if esports grew and it was for the purpose of making money and not for the purpose of they like the game?
That's the world.
That's the world.
It's always going to be about making money. I just hope that it doesn't grow too fast that it can't sustain itself. But
no, but with these big investors, that's going to help sustain it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it
they
could.
Don't want their money. They don't want to lose money just as bad as anyone.
Yeah, but I mean, it could, but it also could end up creating a bubble where people think it's safe to invest into it, and it's not. When you don't have any kind of return on interest, people, what will happen is people will pull their money out all at once, and then the whole ecosystem collapses. But
only time will tell, though.
Like that guy said, there's not a real business model in place for esports right now. There's been tons of talk about advertisers being endemic, which means the same people that are advertising are the same ones that are selling to the consumer right there, right? So it's like it kind of eats on itself. And the money
circulates. You even have all these companies. You have, you know, ESL, Faceit, all these guys trying to be the company for esports.
Yeah.
But even then, like you said, it's like they have a great startup. They have a great plan. And then it always seems just to kind of fizzle out to be just another league.
There's not enough money. There's not enough revenue stream to
take it to that next level.
But I'll tell you this, it's going to change. I will go and predict this and tell you in 5 years, you're not going to be able to watch esports on Twitch for free.
You think that's going to have to be?
Oh, it's the first thing they're going to monetize once they get control of it is the broadcasting rights for.
And that will be the true test.
Yeah.
That'll be the true test. Only time will tell though, really. What time has already told us was the Overwatch Open. And I want to break this down real quickly because we are pumping this show.
Killing it tonight.
Yeah, killing it. Overwatch Open, it came and went. Like, they had 1 week. At the start of the week was the NA qualifiers. At the end of the week was the EU qualifiers. And literally the next night was the finals between NA, quote unquote, NA and EU.
Which was really EU versus EU.
We'll get to that. I think it's kind of silly that they do this. So the whole thing was, is E-League's whole thing was making this an EU versus NA finals, because that was the way the brackets were working. Well, Envious, first off, is fully EU roster except for Tailspin.
I know why, by the way. Did I tell you that? I found out why they're considered an NA roster.
Well, they live here.
Well, no. The original roster was 100% North American.
So they just carried that over?
So Tailspin is the only holdover from the original roster of Envious. Hmm. Tailspin actually convinced Envious to recruit all the other people that are on that team. And that's why it's considered NA, because at the very beginning it was an NA roster. Hmm. But I mean, they're all over the place. They've got two Swedes, Finn, a German, and
they're a melting pot.
What is that? Oh, Spain.
And I don't mind the divisions, right? You want to split teams up in two, and then that way you can have a final between the two best of that division. That's cool, okay? My issue is calling it NA versus EU. I think that's a little silly. I think that just name them something else. I don't know. Name it A and B for all I care. I really don't care. I don't like putting labels geographically, because then it ends up making no sense. A la this tournament. So, did you want to talk about the qualifyings?
In the interest of time, I think we should just jump through it.
Jump through the finals, okay? It ended up being NA versus Misfits. The only thing interesting about the qualifyings I will say about this was in the Europe bracket, Rogue was a clear favorite. Like, everybody just basically penciled in Envious and Rogue to be in this finals. And then Misfits really came out of nowhere as the Cinderella story and defeated Rogue in the EU finals and 3-2, right? And moved on. Then you had on Friday night on TBS, it was Envious versus Misfits. Long story short, Misfits ended up winning the whole thing. 3-1 versus Envious. And I watched this. So first off, the way it ended, I want to bring this up. The way it ended on Hanamura, was it? No, Lijing Tower. Sorry.
Lijing Tower.
Got my Asian maps mixed up there. Lijing Tower, dude, it was... Did you see the final moments of this tournament?
I did not see the final moments of the tournament. What happened? Explain it to me.
So it started with dual Zarya gravity bombs. So, you know, one Zarya pops her ulti, the other one's like, hell no, and pops her ulti, right? So you have basically both teams just right next to each other, all gravitied up. And then the Tracer, I forget who was playing who, but Tracer on Misfits ended up throwing her bomb into Envious. Got a triple kill, and then that's how it ended.
Oh, nice.
Like, it was an epic ending to a really good tournament. No delays. It was awesome. E-League crushed it on TBS. I thought, I don't know if it's because they had time to warm up with Counter-Strike. I honestly kind of liked the Overwatch, though, more. I felt like Overwatch
moved really smoothly.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's because it's a lot more predictable.
Well, yeah, the overtimes in Overwatch are not nearly as ridiculous as the overtimes in Counter-Strike.
With Counter-Strike, technically overtime could go on forever.
Yeah.
Like you could have...
There's no draw.
No, there's no tying. And in here, in the Blizzard has kind of built in the Overwatch on... or overtime in Overwatch to where it's a little bit more, you know, we're going to get this over with eventually. But no, I thought it worked out awesome. It was an awesome tournament. Few observations from this tournament, though. Okay? This was when I said I want to bring up this in Overwatch observations compared to Counter-Strike. The USA chant needs to go. I don't like it. Not because I'm not a patriot. All right. I bleed red, white, and blue. It's because it makes no sense. It's like chanting USA at a hockey game because like an American scored. It makes no sense. Listen, I get it. It was Team Liquid versus Na'Vi. So it's NA versus the Ukraine. Whatever, it's not. We were chanting USA when Simple was on Liquid. He's not American. You chant it at Cloud9. They don't have all Americans.
I understand.
It's dumb.
I understand.
I want you to chant Liquid.
But,
be a Liquid fan.
But
you're not gonna butt
top
me.
Five,
I don't like
top
it.
Five top five esport moment for me is when the crowd broke out in the national anthem when Team Liquid was walking.
That
up
was pretty dope.
At MLG Columbus.
I will say I like that. But this, I think this is what, this was the straw that broke my back on this one. They were chanting USA for Na'Vi during the finals against Misfits, okay?
Yeah.
Let me play you the intro that E-League played for Na'Vi, okay? Or not Na'Vi, Envious.
My nickname or alias is Ships Hyun.
My alias is Internet Hike.
Harry Hook.
My alias is Coco.
I'm Taimu.
My alias is Tailspin, and I play for Envious.
The team came together in the very early stage of the first beta. It was me forming a team and then searching for players.
Huh. It's a interesting accent you have there, Internet Hulk. What part of America would that be from? Is that like Seattle?
Oh my God.
I've never been to Seattle. Maybe that's how they speak up there. No, it's not. Because he's not American. They have one American on the team. Why are we chanting USA? Am I being unreasonable here?
I don't care. I mean, you're really fired up about it. I'm going to let you go. But
look,
I just don't care.
I think I'm more fired up because it's like, I think what bothers me more is that there's no team loyalty. It's because it's, well, okay, this is the NA team that's winning now, so we're going to go root for them like we've been a fan all along.
It's country loyalty.
It's not. It's not even country loyalty. This is false placed country loyalty.
Anyway, can we talk about the meta? What came out of Overwatch?
Go for it. Go for it. You don't want to talk about the real issues. You want to dance away from the real issues at hand in Overwatch and in esports as a whole. Let's talk about the meta.
I'm just sad because Zenyatta's fallen off.
That's your guy. What are you going to do now? He's the only reason you could play with us.
Zenyatta's no longer present. Although it's funny is that Zenyatta
so
was kind of
he?
The reason
what
that
is he then?
They won in Lijiang Tower.
What like what was he? That, cause, so explain the meta the way they do it in Overwatch. You have S.
S. Oh, so you, oh, the Overwatch. You have the S tier, which is heroes greater than 95% pickage or pick rates. A, B, C, D, and F. F is less than 5% or pretty much never used. Zenyatta's fallen to D tier, which is just between 20 and 5% usage rate. He still outranks F tier, which is Mercy, Hanzo, Pharah, D.Va, Soldier, Junkrat, Bastion, Widow, Symmetra, Torbjorn. Literally half the roster is F tier, which isn't to say that they don't get picked. There were actually some very, very clutch Hanzo picks and several Pharmacy combos, which is a Pharah Mercy pick. Throughout the tournament, but they were all very, very, very situational. And it's because of Anna. Anna's jacked up the entire meta. She's messed it all up.
Well, so not only is Anna jacking with the support meta, but she's jacking
well, she's
with the
jacking
damage.
With everything.
It's, I mean, because you build your team. I mean, Envious.
I read an article about
NIP
Misfits.
NIP started the whole three tank,
right, three support. This new meta that is going to happen now because Misfits did it and won this tournament, they're calling it the Beyblade meta, and I think it was Sure4 that actually coined the term because of Reaper's ultimate, Death Blossom. And the whole strategy behind it is you use Anna to get her ult, you give it to Reinhardt, he causes a bunch of havoc. While that havoc is going on, Anna charges her next ult and then gives it to Reaper, and Reaper basically wrecks face with it, because with a nano boosted Reaper, even without his ultimate, can basically melt through anyone. I mean, he's a tank killer already, but when he's moving fast, takes less damage and does more damage, it's even worse.
There's already talks of in the next like wave of nerfing that they're going to make it to where Anna's ult
Oh, they've
takes
yeah, they're,
longer.
They're it's 25%.
They already
they're
did
talking
announce
about
that?
Nerfing the 25% ult charge, so it's gonna take 25% longer to charge her ult. I don't think that's gonna. It's kind of like Lucio, right? You nerf it, right? But there's still nothing that benefits you more than having that Reinhardt and Reaper wrecking face. You're just gonna have to wait a little bit longer in between. So, the meta's all jacked up right now because of that. You have Misfits is kind of.
Where did Roadhog fall in that? You have that the whole list in front of you? Because Roadhog was getting a lot of love this tournament, which compared to the Atlantic Open, there wasn't much.
Roadhog was in C tier, which is what they consider the balanced heroes, which means it's picked frequently in most situations and shows people switching to him. I can tell you at the finals specifically. Envious had Teemu that was on Roadhog for most of the time. Or is it Teemu? It's probably Teemu. Was on Roadhog for most of the time throughout the entire finals. So you do see people building comps around it or with it, especially when you got a guy like him that can hit the hooks the way he does. But, you know, we do have some new heroes coming out. Mei is now in C tier.
She was causing havoc. A lot of play.
Not only on defense. I know people were using her on defense a lot on Hanamura. But she's getting picks on attack now, too, just because her right click does as much damage as a McCree left click does. It's just it's a projectile instead of hit scan, so it's harder to hit. But if she does that kind of damage, plus has the utility of the freeze and the wall and her ulti, now that it's bigger, the radius on it is bigger, does a little more area of effect. So she's becoming more effective and picked more often. But still, I mean, you still see Lucio and Zarya. Every single game, somebody has a Lucio and a Zarya on them. So.
But it's like we said, though, it's not so much that they're overpowered. It's just what are you going to do to nerf them and not make them completely useless? Like, the reason Lucio is picked so much is because, hands down, I mean, the AoE heal, the speed boost, it just works better for the whole team rather than, like, switching up to a Mercy for the sake of switching it up.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we had a discussion about it. I mean, even if you nerf Lucio's speed boost, you're still going to get him picked every time because any speed boost is better than no speed boost. People getting to the point faster will always be better, so you'll always see Lucio unless his healing is just nerfed to the point where he cannot sustain people through any damage. Then so, again, he's kind of like, he'd be like Symmetra in that sense. One-trick pony with nothing to sustain.
Speaking of sustain, I guess the question moving forward is Misfits going to be able to sustain now their top spot as EU? Like, Rogue kind of held that spot ever since Envious left EU.
I don't think Misfits will.
You think this was kind of like a...
I think this was kind of... This is something that teams tried to counter it throughout the tournament,
I mean,
but weren't able to.
They roll. I mean, really, apart from the one map that Envious won, which was on Nepal, they didn't come close to taking another map.
I mean, as soon as Misfits, or as soon as people figure out how to deal with the Ana on Misfits, I don't think they'll be able to sustain it. I mean,
Misfits on King's Row. This was map number one against Envious. On their first, you know, three cap on a attack, had 4 minutes left at the end.
Yeah.
So even when Envious captured all three in overtime, Misfits had 4 minutes to capture the first point. It was unreal. I mean, they just didn't even... It honestly almost looked like Envious just never really thought of them as a threat before they played them.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what it looked like.
I will say, I don't want to take anything away from Misfits, especially on Lijiang Tower that they won. King of the Hill, they actually changed up their comp. It was one of the only times they changed up their comp the entire tournament, where they did not have an Ana, and they went back to the old school Zenyatta, Lucio, Winston, Reaper, Zarya, and Tracer. But throwing that Zenyatta on there to deal with Teemu's Roadhog and Internet Hulk's Winston was a very clutch decision. Why no one on Envious switched heroes after that? I think Teemu switched to Reaper eventually, but I mean, you're still looking at a Winston, which is essentially useless with a Zenyatta on the other team.
Well, I mean, even his ulti, you get melted.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he goes beast mode.
Yeah, and I mean, the only thing that they were dealing with was a Tracer. Why he was on Winston for that long, I think that was a little bit of ego on his part playing into it. But I was Misfits changing up their comp was a pretty clutch move.
One last observation for Overwatch, and then we can go on to E-News. And it's really just me being a jerk again. Snow on Method is my new least favorite player. That's the kid with the hair.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, get a haircut.
Get a haircut. It's not, you know, I get it, it's your thing. Again.
I don't even know how he sees. He had one eye covered up the whole time.
Just cut your hair, all right? Be an adult. Maybe wear a suit.
Wear a suit.
Let's move on to the E-News. I literally have one thing for E-News today, so I hope you have at least more than that. And that is Steve Aoki. Boom. Sorry, son. Maybe you should start E-News. Maybe you should host the show, and then you can go first. But he bought Rogue right after the Open. Or he didn't buy it. He invested in it.
Yeah.
He invested in Rogue. So again, another celebrity investing into esports. Nothing to do with NBA. But there's that. That's my contribution to E-News. What do you got?
I feel like the esports in a nutshell guy right now. I'm trying to find headlines to read really quick. Actually, ESPN has reported that Neeb, first non-Korean in 16 years. 16 years to win a StarCraft tournament in South Korea.
Neat.
Of course, on Twitter, everyone's like, yeah, but the StarCraft is not nearly as good as it used to be in 16 years ago.
Man, I remember at DreamHack Austin last year, or I guess this year, last whatever, we sat there and watched.
Do you remember it just ended?
No, we were watching StarCraft. We were watching like the grand finals and everything, and we were watching it with Troy, one of the listeners of the show that we met there. By the way, you can go to DreamHack Austin 2017 and meet us again because we'll be there. Because I guess he watches StarCraft, so he was trying to explain to us what was going on, and I was just like, bro, I played when I was in high school, but that was Brood War. Like I was legit at StarCraft 1. StarCraft 2, I never even touched. And I'm so lost. And then it just ended. And we were like, oh, okay. And then they were celebrating because it was over, like completely. He just won the grand finals. I was so lost.
Yeah, I never played StarCraft, and we were sitting there watching, and the casters were talking, and it's like not. It didn't even get like a build up. It was just the casters were talking, like, "Oh, and he wins."
That's it.
Like,
it's done.
We're all like, "That's it."
You got anything else for E-News, sir?
Launders, friend of the show,
best
friend. Saw him so many times at DreamHack Austin 2016. He launched a new esports brand called Boxer and signed Super Smash Bros. Melee Player Zoo. Wrecked it. There you go. I had to have another one since you stole the first one.
Whatever, man. Before we go, Brandon, break us down the LCS world going on.
Yep.
Awesome. It is amazing how much... Or I guess how little we care about League of Legends.
I remember somebody brought it up in our Discord. Again, you can join the Discord. Said, wow, League of Legends has a lot of viewers. Like, why? Oh, I guess Worlds are going on right now.
Yeah, I guess just the biggest tournament going on in League of Legends is going on. And
We mean just, that in any kind of slide
dude,
towards
I
League
just
of Legends.
Never got
I just
involved.
Can't do it.
I never got involved in leagues. I'm sorry. Maybe you want to... Look, you don't want us talking about League of Legends. You just don't. There's a reason we only bring up Dota during majors. It's just not pretty, all right? I'm sorry. That's going to do it for episode 43. Yeah, 43. Done. In the books. I hope you enjoyed it. It was an extra long one, but we had so much we had to talk about. We couldn't let one thing go. Okay? You can catch us on our website, tcr.gg. Find us on Twitter @TheCenterRing. You can personally find me @PirateMushroom. Brandon is at BrandInEnu. We aren't kidding. We do have a Discord, and we would love for you to join it and talk with us. We got, you know, our group of friends and everyone in there. We're always friendly. I highly suggest you can take a joke if you're in there. All things said are views of our friends and not the show. That needs to be said. I don't agree with everything my friends may put. But again, hit us up on Twitter and I can give you a little invite to Discord and stuff. Again, this episode's on Blowout Podcast Network. Check them out at blowoutpod.com. They got some awesome, unique podcasts there that I'm sure you will find at least one that you like. They're good guys. And am I missing anything?
I think you got it all,
Twitter,
actually.
At the Center Ring. Check it out. Let us know. See you next week. Bye.